Isn't that grand? Look who's here in studio. Just when I was feeling sick, Doc. Man, about
these. This is Dr. Kevin Schmidt. He's the head
Hi,
of
Kevin.
The,
nice to meet you.
ER doctor. He's head of the disaster preparedness over at San Joaquin.
San Joaquin.
And what we
awesome.
Wanted, what I wanted to do for the first 10 minutes, then we're going to talk about women's hormones, by the way, after the rest, and testosterone for women, which will be interesting.
Okay.
But the first segment, I want to talk about the flu, because I want to tell you a story what happened this morning, all right? But I had a guy come in this morning, and he epitomizes what 99.9% of the people out there asked him, do you want a flu shot? And he said, no, I never get the flu, blah, 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 you know, forget about me. And I explained to him, hold her, you're making a mistake, because most people don't realize. You see, last year, 36,000 people died of the flu. In fact, I had one of my own patients who had lung disease who got the flu, didn't get immunized, got the flu, and bottom line, she died.
Wow.
36, all right?
Jeez.
Now, she had terrible immune system issues and all that kind of stuff, and we understand that. She's one of those 36,000. But here's what people don't understand. You see, when you tell me you won't get the flu, I don't get the flu, that's really a lie. You will get, everybody will, who's exposed, will, if it has no immunization for it, you will get the flu. Now, you will probably get an attenuated version. You may not even notice you got the flu. A little few aches and you have a little runny nose, and who cares? And you fluff it off, and it doesn't bother you. But here's where we're making a problem with society, Jazz. Let's say that you are that person. You've got the flu, but you don't know it. You're going to walk around for 3 weeks shedding virus, all right? Every time you cough, you're blowing it all
you
over.
You did say shedding.
Shedding.
Okay.
Essentially,
you said something else. But,
but essentially, bottom line, all you have to do is walk by some other person who is, you know, elderly, or is a diabetic, or has some other immune system
immune
issue,
problem, sure,
and you cough, yeah, and you. They get that virus, you just sentence them to death. We are looking at the flu shot as sort of preventing me from getting the flu, and it's really, we're trying to prevent the flu from affecting all these people and killing these all
now,
these
that's
people.
A great point.
And
I
this
gotta
is,
admit,
it's
that's
a social responsibility to do this. It's not my job to, I'm not going to get it, you know, screw the other guy. And this is what people don't understand, Jazz. If we take it, look, the flu shot is safe. It no longer has mercury, thimerosal, all this kind of stuff. There's very few people. In fact, we have flu shot now that doesn't even have eggs, and if you have egg allergy. So all this idea about the flu causing a lot of illness is not really up to date. But the flu, if I don't take it, and I don't get the flu, but I get this attenuated version, and I'm coughing, do you want to be end up responsible for coughing in some old granny's, you know, that's going to die because of it?
Mm.
See, that's where we're missing as a society. There's a public responsibility. I want to ask you this. If you had polio, all right, or let's say whooping cough, let's say you got whooping cough, would you, attenuated version, would you be walking out there giving it to everybody else?
Mm.
No. You see, and that's the way we have to look at the flu shot. What I thought, I'd have Dr. Schmidt, all right? He's an ER physician, one of the big ER doctors over at San Joaquin. He sits and chairs the disaster relief for the county and for San Joaquin. I just wanted to bring him on because there's some things about what happens with flu and what you shouldn't be doing to do it. All right, Kevin, why don't you talk?
First of all, I wanted to say thanks to Jazz and Dr. Mensage for having me on today. I was actually, I have to say, Jazz, I was listening to you on the way in, and I wasn't expecting Jazz. I was expecting a Taz. Boy, you were really fired up there.
I don't need to talk about the flu to get me down from talking about PC college campuses.
You know, unfortunately, I didn't bring all my Ativan and stuff with me. Otherwise, I could have treated you here. But anyways, the thing that got us going on this is that in 2009, we had the swine flu scare in town. And basically what this was in retrospect was it was mass hysteria. It was created by the media. And in fact, at the time, if you got the actual H1N1 swine flu at that time, that you didn't have as bad a system as a typical flu. But the emergency rooms were flooded. They had the CDC putting up tents in the parking lots. This was just insane.
Sure, well, we had a tent at San Joaquin.
I remember this. We had to take the wife to the emergency room for something. It had nothing to do with having the flu, and she coughed once, and all of a sudden it was like the Red Sea parted. Everybody got out of our way.
Yes. I was going to say that's one way to get, I guess, seen quickly, right? Would not recommend it. So we wanted to talk a little bit about trying to prevent people from coming to the emergency room. And the first way you can do that is please get the vaccination. Mm-hmm. As Jan had just said, that the biggest thing you can do is even for society is to get a vaccine so you're not spreading this around. For me personally, I got it in 1990 when I was a surgical resident, and then I've had the vaccine every year since then. Well, I'll tell you, when I got it, I couldn't stand up. I felt like I was being beat up. Every year I've gotten it after that, I've never had any symptoms.
How long did it last?
Oh, it was several days, but I mean, I literally couldn't stand up.
See, I don't know, because I've had colds before, and I've had things that were worse than colds, but they were all gone in a day or two. And the only time I was ever felt like I was knocked out, and I didn't go to the doctor. I just didn't have any insurance, didn't have any money, just didn't do it. I was working in a nightclub as a DJ, and, you know, on an independent contractorship with the club. And I ended up being out of work for about 5 nights, and I was on my back the whole time, and I think it was pneumonia, but it was pretty bad. I don't know if it was the flu or not, but that was many, 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 many years ago. And if it's anything like that, I know I'd never want to go through that again.
Yeah, and so why should you have to? If you just get vaccinated, we can try and prevent this. Now, of course, it can get worse. It could have been an pneumonia, but let's try and get ahead of this thing so you don't end up like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that comes back to, you know, what I said. This, you know, there, to a certain extent, there's a social responsibility to look at this and say, yeah, I want to prevent some other old guy or whatever, whoever that person is.
A little kid.
It could be a little kid that's got leukemia and has got a poor immune system or something else that you could be by coughing or touching some surface that they're going to touch, setting this thing, that person to die. And that's where we don't think of it. We're always thinking, what? I don't get the flu. Forget it. I don't need a flu shot. But that vector, that area of flu is still running around. Why we have no polio today is because there's no polio virus going around.
Right, exactly.
And that's essentially how we want to look at the flu. And it's not a popular way to look at it. I want to be frank with it. But it's a way that if we're going to get control of it and not have 30, 40,000 people die every year, this is what's going to happen. And number two, the bigger issue to me is if we can get control of the flu, you know, he mentioned H1N1, and there are other serotypes that are going to come up that are going to be disastrous. I mean, if you think of World War One, what stopped World War One was that the Germans got the flu 2 weeks before the Allies did. All right, and literally it wiped out the German troops, and they sued for peace. A lot of people don't know that, but what happens? They had a mortality of something like 35% at that time in the areas in the trenches from the flu. If we get another flu virus, a real bad one, and we don't have this reserve of a lot of population that has been immunized, it can be disastrous. And that's where it's going to happen. Now, Kevin, would you recommend they go to the ER if they get the flu?
No, absolutely not. I'm actually glad that you brought that up, because if you have the flu, you're going to give it to somebody. If you don't have the flu, you're going to get it. And the bottom line is there's really not much we can do for you anyways. There's simple things that you can do. Wash your hands. Don't cough on people. Take some ibuprofen or some Tylenol if you do get a fever and the body aches. Drink plenty of fluids. You know, try to avoid sick people. Wash your hands frequently. And then if you do get into the emergency room, like I say, as you run the chance of giving it or getting it, and there's really not much we can do for you anyways.
Well, you know, that's interesting. Most people who come to the ER is after 72 hours. What's important about that?
It's significant because in order to have any benefit of all, you have to start the medication within the first 48 hours.
Yeah, and nobody's sick enough to get it.
Yeah, exactly. So by the time you got there, it's not
too late.
Work.
It's too late.
Yeah.
All right? People don't understand
that.
It's
not like the scratchy throat and you take the airborne or any of those other medications.
Those things are not bad to do.
But when you get the scratchy throat, that's 2 days before you're going to get the full bore cold, usually for me anyway.
Right.
And I overdose on vitamin C or some of those other zinc and things like that. And usually it's very mild, and then I just, you know, tapered maybe just 0.5% less than I would be normally, and then I'm fine after 2 days.
The other thing what we recommend, we do in the practice, we're very aggressive with D3 replacement, but essentially if go to your doctor, get him to check your D3 level, and make your D3 level between 80 and 100. If your D3 level is above 80, literally, your immune system is up here, and you will have minimal symptomatology. It's amazing.
Really?
3 years ago, January to January, essentially, we checked all D3 level. That was before we were being aggressive with D3 replacement, and January a year later when we were. We had 11% more patients, Jazz. We had 39% fewer visits the next year because of it, with upper respiratory infections. it is amazing what can happen. There's amazing literature with this stuff. But you have to have D3 level. It's 80 or
vitamin
above.
Vitamin D3, that's 80 or above.
Your doctor,
and you can do this through any blood test.
Yeah, your doctor will do it for you. But it takes aggressive replacement to do that. But if you do that, amazing things happen. literally, I went to a conference this was about 2 years ago about D3 replacement. And, you know, they tell you that it's good for skin cancers and all this kind of, and it's what's called apoptotic, literally decreases the risk of skin cancer if it's 80 or above. And I kind of made a mistake with this guy, but I had a guy six months ago came in, and he had a congenital defect, all right, that essentially he has a gene defect and he gets skin cancers all over his body.
Oh, geez.
And he came to me with, on his legs, covered with preactinic keratoses. These are early squamous cell carcinomas. This guy is 51 or 52, and he's had over 100 biopsies. I mean, you can't cut them all off, all right? And he came to see me, and I mean, all we do, and we bring him in every 6 months, and we essentially strip him naked and look and take the worst ones off. That's literally what happens. And I was telling him, I said, listen, we need to do your vitamin D3 levels, all right? Because there's very good literature about D3 and levels high above 80 and skin limiting the access of skin cancer. And he said, okay. And he came back. His D3 levels were 8, which is just disastrous low. And we replaced his D3. And I made a mistake, Jez. My mistake was I should have taken a picture beforehand. Mid-after. His legs were just covered with thousands of his skin cancers. And taken a picture beforehand and after. And I didn't. But anyhow, 6 weeks later, he comes into the office. He is ecstatic. In fact, he drops his shorts all in his pants, almost to the floor. I walk in. It's almost inappropriate. I say, what's going on here? 80% of his skin cancer lesions are gone. He'd never seen anything like it.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
Amazing.
But there's a lot. Keeping your immune system is very important to that.
No,
but you've got to get the flu shot, because if you don't, you have the potential to spread it to someone else, and you may sentence that someone else to death.
And we'll take a break right now, come back, and he wants to talk about female sex hormones. This is a family show, Doc.
Especially testosterone for women.
It's a freaking family show here, Doc. You know what I'm saying? For the love of Pete. We'll be right back. We got two docs, by the way.
Yeah.
Here, so if you've got a question, by the way, give us a call, 399-1560, 399-1560. Ask the docs here on the Jazz McKay Show on KNZR.
If you have more nice things to say about countries like Cuba and China than you do about your own country, you might be a brain-dead liberal. You're listening to Jazz McKay on KNZR.
Welcome back. This is Jezariah McKay on 1560 AM, 97.7 FM, KNZR. We got two docs for the price of one. And today, I think you, Dr. Schmidt, are going to be sort of alongside myself as being students here of Dr. Mensink, because you're talking about female hormone thing. What is it now?
Testosterone for females.
Testosterone for females. And Dr. Schmidt and I ain't real too clear on what the hell that you're talking about.
We're both sitting here scratching our heads. Go ahead.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize that for females, females have three different hormones that they have: testosterone, they have progesterone, and estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, three types of estrogen. And menopause starts with, what they don't realize is menopause starts with, in the 40s, actually age 38, with the first hormone to decrease is not estrogen. Everybody thinks it is. In fact, the first hormone in the premenopause to decrease is testosterone. All right?
Is that right?
The second hormone is progesterone. The last one is estrogen. All right? Of the three estrogens. So what I thought is we'll go over a whole bunch of action, what testosterone does in women, how you can know that there's an issue and problem, and then take it from there. But let's go over the things that the risks for testosterone problems. You're over 38. You've had your ovaries removed. You will not make testosterone, or very minimal. Premature menopause before age 38, all these women have major testosterone problems, all right? Or if your ovaries were ever exposed to radiation. Now, what does it do, literally, if you have low testosterone in a female? They lose their sex drive, All right. And that very common around age 38, 40, women lose their sex drive. And that can be replaced or replace their sex drive. That's not the right word, but correct the sex drive. I said that wrong. By replacing testosterone. Okay. Women who can't get orgasms, who've had orgasms in the past. More fatigue. Fatigue is a major part of low testosterone, as is loss of being able to build muscles, all right, or their muscles get weaker. Insomnia is caused often by lack of testosterone, or people who wake up and can't go back to sleep. Testosterone does that in females, not so much men. people who don't feel, when they wake up in the morning, women who feel tired, one of the causes is low testosterone. Migraine headaches, this is interesting. After age 38, migraine headaches that develop after age 38, a high correlation with testosterone deficiencies. You can correct that testosterone. Headaches go away. And it's wow. Decreased exercise stamina, gaining weight, you know, belly fat, essentially. osteoporosis, major effect with the testosterone decreasing. In fact, I do not believe that you can correct osteoporosis totally without correcting testosterone levels in women. It's not the only issue, but it's a major. people whose heights decrease because of osteoporosis. Another thing a lot of people don't realize is if you have memory troubles, all right, there's a major correlation with memory. people who have arthritis, we now know that, for instance, if we've known this for quite a while with RA or with fibromyalgia, but also true with rheumatoid. If you have a testosterone deficiency, I correct that. There are some studies showing up to 20 to 30% of the relief from just doing that. That's amazing.
And a lot of the things that you're describing, symptoms wise, could probably be attributed to something else, right?
Yep. Yep. Another thing.
So it could be, this is something that could be missed by some doctors.
We don't think about it, Jazz. I mean, a lot of doctors have not been trained for bioidentical hormones. Number two, is it something that's not on our, often on our radar? We're thinking about everything else. Here's another thing that's amazing. There's a whole bunch of things that decrease testosterone that we don't think of. Doctors know this, but as patients, we don't think of it. Any antidepressant that has a serotonin effect, literally lowers your testosterone level. Most antihypertensives lower the free testosterone, not the sex-binding globulin. Birth control pills all decrease testosterone levels. So women who take birth control pills end up initially, they think they're going to have sex without worrying about pregnancy, but their sex drives after about 18 months go down the drain. All right? All statins, cholesterol-lowering meds, decrease testosterone levels, all right? Mm-hmm. We have a lot of trouble with statins in older men who already have low testosterone. And testosterone literally lowers cholesterol levels and has a beneficial effect on your lipid levels. Literally, it ends up being this circular thing that we put their levels, LDLs go up. We put them on a statin. And often, if you correct their testosterone, we do this every day, correct their testosterone first, their LDL and cholesterols come down, and they don't need the statin, all right? And literally, the statin makes the testosterone levels get lower. Can make the problem worse with the weakness in that. Oral estrogens, steroids, most steroids, like a Medrol dose pack that we use a lot, or hydrocortisone, things like that, lower the amount of testosterone temporarily. All synthetic progestins, like that's Provera, things like that. And then there's a few things like tamoxifen that literally bind. This is used for people with breast cancer that bind testosterone. But there's a lot of medicines that people don't realize is lowering the testosterone. Mm-hmm. And literally what happens is that the women get sick. If you don't have enough testosterone, Jazz, in fact, let me read over a list of things that actions that testosterone does in women. It activates brain activity and memory. And I have had women that we've replaced testosterone in. It helps get rid of that women call brain fog when they go through menopause. Testosterone can act as an anti-inflammatory, although it's not the major anti-inflammatory. Testosterone, there's evidence today, right now, we have studies that are showing that lower testosterone levels are show an increased risk for dementias and Alzheimer's disease. That's amazing.
Does any of this stuff apply to men?
Yes, same. Much of it does. Here's one: insulin resistance, pre-diabetes, diabetes, insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome. Yeah. That is improved with testosterone. It increases bone strength. We all know that. It increases muscle strength, increases energy. Here's something very, very interesting. As we grow older, Jazz, every one of us lowers our growth hormone. That's a natural part of aging. In fact, there are phenomenal correlations between when your growth hormone gets so low and what's called telomere shortening, but essentially DNA, you know, a certain part of the DNA gets too short. Everybody dies. Mm. And it's almost predictive, all right? Testosterone increases the rate lowers the rate of growth hormone decreasing. And that's major, major. It increases libido in women, all right? If you replace in their 40s a woman with testosterone, they no longer lose their libido. And it increases skin thickness. I had a guy come in this morning who he's in his 60s. He didn't want to take testosterone. And his skin, in fact, he went to his arm and he says, "Look, doc," he says, "my skin's getting thin like an old man." And he says, "Why?" And he says, "Well, look at mine." He says, "Well, yours is thick. How come?" That's a major cause of testosterone.
The skin thinning out when testosterone is in need of replacement. Yep. And how is it replaced? Is it a pill? Is it a cream? Is it a spray?
There are several ways. You can take testosterone by pill. Nobody does it, okay? And there's several reasons. Because it goes to the liver, what's called a first pass effect, and screws things up. And actually is bad for you.
I'll tell you what, let's take a break and come back, and you can explain the different forms of testosterone replacement. And we'll do that with Dr. Messick and Dr. Schmitz here. And we're going to tell you how you can get... Now, you have a special clinic coming up, flu clinic at the hospital.
Kevin, talk to them. There's free shots. Let them know about that.
Yeah, we'll do
this
that.
We should do that when we come back.
Because
that's fantastic.
Right here on the Jazz McKay Show. If you don't have insurance, well, guess what? You don't. We got a way for you to get your flu shot. Welcome back. It's the Jazz McKay Radio Extravaganza. On 1560 AM, 97.7 FM, KNZR. Dr. Schmidt, tell me, if you would, now you've got some flu clinic, free flu shots. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, we sure do. At the 14th of November, starting at 7 a.m., we've actually got a drive-through flu clinic where we will be very happy to give you a flu vaccine. And it starts at 7 a.m. until we run out of the vaccines. It doesn't cost you a dime.
Now, what day is this again?
That's on November 14th, starting at 7 a.m.
This is Friday, right? Is it Friday?
It is. Boy, yeah. What happened to the time?
No kidding.
Yeah. And then we've got please come on down. That's what we bought them for. We want to make
San
sure you're
vaccinated. In front of San Joaquin or on the side?
There's going to be plenty of signs there to direct everybody.
All right.
Yeah.
So on the 14th, that's
Friday.
This
is a big thing, Jess. I mean, literally, I think there's 50,000 units or something, but there's a pile of vaccine. They've got lots of it. You know, this is a big thing, not a little deal.
Yeah,
this
please.
Come
this
early.
Awesome.
Come early.
This is terrific.
Yeah.
Starts at 7 a.m. this Friday.
Yep, and we keep going until we give it away. And then if you're interested, we've also got a lecture on December 9th starting at noon. And we talk about the flu, and I think that the TV stations are there. We usually have a follow-up article in the Bakersfield Californian about it. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Todd Peterson will be giving a lecture on that one. So we can tell you things about the effects, the getting a vaccination, who should be seen in the emergency room. Most of you should not. And just generalized information for everybody. And it's free. You're welcome to come. And if you'd like more information on that, we usually get about 120, 150 people. So if you'd like some information on that, you can call and reserve a spot at 869-6560. That's 869-6560.
And one more time with that phone number there. We have a religious thing here. We do it three times.
Okay. 869-6560, and I've just been baptized.
Doc, real quick, testosterone replacement. How is this handled?
Well, there's
it's not a pill, you're saying.
Several things. And we've talked this on the show before about essentially hormones. I'm a strong believer in bioidentical hormones. When the Women's Health Initiative came out in 1999, essentially what happened is that we studied all the hormones for women. And essentially, the studies were done on synthetic hormones and Premarin and synthetic progestins. And make a long story short, it increases the cause of cancer, strokes, heart disease, clots, bad. And they were stopped overnight in 2001. And then what happened is they repeated those studies with bioidentical hormones. So it's the same hormones your body makes. Now, there's a problem, two problems with it. And what happened is, lo and behold, the bioidentical hormones lower the risk of cancer, lower the risk of stroke, lower the risk of clots. Everything is good. They don't make you live any longer, but you live better, bottom line. So what happened, and that message has not come out. Everybody thinks, all hormones are bad. The bioidentical hormones are actually good, but they can only be given several ways. And there's a problem with this, because bottom line, the drug companies can't patent your own body hormones. So no drug company can make a medicine out of it. So they have to be compounded, all right, or pelletized. And that's the issue, because nobody can, we can't have.
So there's no money in it for Big Pharma to get
probably involved. It's probably the bottom line. All right. So two things have happened because of that. The word hasn't got out because much of doctors' education is done by Big Pharma. Number two is they have to be compounded. Now, they work. When I say compounded, these are either creams. For women, we use a lot of creams. Or for women, let's say you came in 40. And we're having these symptoms, I would probably put in a pellet of testosterone. And the pellets last for about 4.5 to 6 months. It's like a little big grain of rice that you put under your skin. And they slowly absorb. That's the two ways that you can do testosterone easily. You can do what's called testosterone cyprinate, and you can give it IM. We don't use that for women. That's more for men. And it's not there are some downsides to it. It's not as good for you. But it literally... women with a testosterone pellet under their skin, it can be like magic.
Just overnight?
Yeah, overnight.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And it works, Jazz. It works.
Quite amazing. Get in touch with the doc, Dr. Mensink, at the practice for any and all information about this or any whatever might be bothering you. It's $69 a month, no co-pays, prepaid family medical, with a little bit of a difference, a much more personalized
practice. A lot of difference.
Yeah, there's a lot of differences over there. An examination room with a 6-foot stand up of John Wayne is kind of different.
I don't know if I told you, Jazz, but that room it's very unique. But that room,
the cowboy room.
Yeah, the cowboy room. Somebody who was in that room took that picture. Several pictures of that room, the cowboy room, put it on Facebook, and it went viral across the country. We have no idea who did it.
That's no awesome. Idea. Cowboy room, that is just too awesome. It really is. It really is. $69 a month, you get unlimited access to see Dr. Mensink, or who was the lady that I saw the other day?
Dr. Murphy and Murphy. Dr. Steinberg, Dr. and we Murphy. Also have Dr. Cullen.
Yeah, whole staff of folks over there. Believe me, folks, you'll have the peace of mind when joining the practice, knowing that your doctor's there for you and there for you for all of your needs. And he takes this stuff very seriously and very personally. So give him a call. It's 871-3300 at the practice, 871-3300 at the practice. Call him now, 871-3300. Set up an appointment. Go in. They'll tell you everything you need to know. And sign up for the practice and see the doc the very same day. Helen, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. First of all, Friday is the 13th and Saturday is the 14th.
Oh, goodness.
Thanks for changing that, yeah.
Okay. No. Friday the 13th, no.
No.
Yeah, no. No. Chris, I need a day off Friday. I can't be here.
And the other thing is, okay, how often are certain things, it depends on what's wrong with you, what the protocol or what the deal is with how often you get certain testing. So what's the deal with how often you get tested for D3? If you don't have any big deal with lipids, you get it every 5 years. If you do have a big deal, you get it every 6 months, every year.
What we do at the practice is, number one, hopefully every patient that comes in who has any medical issues. If you come in for a school physical, you're not going to do this. But if you come in for anybody over age 25, 26, 27, who comes in, part of our standard protocols, we check every patient for D3. We're very aggressive with that because it is amazing. About 7 years ago, they checked D3 levels. Now, when I went to medical school, essentially they told me, listen, we put D3 in milk, 400 units in an 8-ounce glass of milk. It prevents rickets and rickets, and I've never seen a case of rickets kind of thing. Mm. And don't worry about it. You go out in the sun, gets enough sun and all that. Well, 7 years ago, they repeated those studies, and lo and behold, 46% of the population in the United States is deficient in D3. And that was sort of the wake-up call, why? And they did a bunch of studies with it. So it's very, very common, D3 deficiency. And once you – so we the first time you come in to see us, we'll check your D3 level, just like we check your cholesterol and a bunch of other things. We'll check that. And literally, we find half the people – have problems with D3. And that's the first step you want to do, Helen, when you come in to see or go to see your doctor. Number two, the second thing is that a lot of people, the levels are, normal D3 level is between 30 and 100. What people don't understand is if your levels are very low, in fact, if you have a level between 8 and 14, literally,
yeah, mine was 25.
That literally will make people depressed, and you will not respond to your antidepressants or serotonin agents unless you correct it. Mm. But if you have a level of 25, 24, 18, and around there, your body will ache, your skin will be dry, your joints will hurt, you'll feel tired and fatigued. If you correct to about between 50 and 70, that's at the level people feel good, all right? 30, 40, they don't actually feel really optimal. But if you correct them to 50 to 70, they feel good. Now, if you go correct them to 80 to 100, the top range of normal, amazing things happen with your immune system, with your energy levels. Literally, the D3 will literally promote or increase the levels of testosterone in women and men, by the way. Amazing things happen. And so we like our patients up top. Now, for many of those patients, they have to take supplementation, all right? Your body needs between 6,000 and 8,000 units of D3 every day, mm-hmm. all right? And most people don't get it, all right? And we recommend between 5,000 and 10,000, depending on your levels now, to do. The other thing that you need to be aware, Helen, is if you have low D3 levels, and it's a research thing to test for this, but most people, if your levels are below 25, on your D3 levels. Essentially, all these people have essential fatty acids problems. It's about $500 to check for those kind of things.
And are those the good ones, the essential fatty acids?
Yes, those are the good ones. So essentially what you want to do is, what we tell our patients, you take two fish oil capsules, I don't care what size, what brand, whatever. Krill is probably a little bit better, but it's more expensive. Two fish oil capsules every day if you have low D3 levels with your D3 replacement. Now, a lot of doctors will go there and, well, your D3 levels are low, we'll give you 1,000 units a day. It doesn't cut it. And it takes months. In fact, many of them will never get
up
there.
What did you have me on originally? 50,000?
Well, we give you 50,000 units early initially, but right. After that.
To boost it up.
Boost it up. And that gives people about between 80 and 120 level. And they do fantastic. Bring it up. But then after, to keep that rate, you either need between 5 and 10,000 units per day.
Yeah, I'm doing about 10,000 myself.
Yeah, and it keeps that, will keep the levels up about between 80 and 100. Yeah. And then so once you do that, maybe about 6 months later, you may want to have your doctor check it again and see how you're doing. All right?
All right.
Okay, yeah, it's been a year and a half, so I'm going to have it done next time I do lab.
You should. Take it from me, you should.
It's not the kind of thing, I mean, there's like A1C where Medicare will only pay for it every so many months unless they put the right code. And so there's certain tests
well,
you have to
Well, yeah, but you've got I mean, you get the 5,000 unit capsules twice a day.
No, I mean the test, the lab test.
Oh, the test. I see.
Because there's like your A1C if you have diabetes.
How much is that test?
It's about $28.
Every so often, but, you know, unless
Here's the good news, Helen, for practice patients. But in fact, this morning, just before we came here, I had a meeting with one of the local labs in town. But we're right now negotiating for our practice patients to get a lower prices for our labs. And we're going to include them, hopefully, by January 1st or February 1st. Hopefully, on level two, we're going to have free labs for all our patients.
Excellent, excellent. Helen, I appreciate the phone call. Got to roll. Doc, it's great seeing you. Doc, it's terrific meeting you, sir. San Joaquin emergency patients are in the very best hands, I can tell.
Thank you, sir, much.
very so. Very.
You
good
know, I was going to say, I actually always wanted to meet a meat-eating, red-blooded, flag-waving, gun-toting American. That's right.
That's right. Jazz. Right there. Glock 40 on my hip there.
Chaz McKay on 1560 AM and 97.7 FM KNZR.